Welcome to the Outreach Mass. Oh my God, I come before you with all my restrictions and my pain. I ask you to have mercy on your servant. Be my companion in my sorrows, my hope in my anguish, and my friend in my joy. In this Outreach Mass, grant me the grace to hear your word and worship your Son at Holy Communion. Bless my neighbors. Bless those who provide the Outreach Mass. Bless the Diocese of Lansing and all who, through their prayers and support, make this televised Mass possible. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
I want to start with a question for everyone present in the church and for those individuals who are watching this Mass on television or listening on the radio. Very simple question, and be honest in your response. Do you pray? If you do, raise your hand. Okay, well, basically everybody's hand is up. Now, if you pray at least 15 minutes a day or almost every day, keep your hand up. Okay, a lot of people still with their hands up. Okay, so you might be thinking, well, Deacon Jim is trying to lay a Catholic guilt trip on you if you didn't keep your hand up or don't pray at least 15 minutes every day. While a little Catholic guilt in our lives can be helpful at times, that's not where I'm going. But I will come back to a commitment to prayer in a few moments. There are three key points in today's scripture readings that I think will drive us to want to pray as a super important means to come closer to God. The reading from Isaiah is about the suffering servant theme. The suffering servant gives his life as an offering for sin. He shall see his descendants in a long life, and the will of the Lord shall be accomplished through him. If this sounds a lot like Jesus giving his life for the sins of all humankind in response to God's will, you're exactly right. This suffering servant in the Old Testament book of Isaiah prefigures, sometimes we say foretells, Jesus in the New Testament. Jesus gave his life. He gave his life. The Roman Gentiles and the people of Israel didn't take Jesus' life. Through the betrayal of Judas, Jesus handed himself over to them, allowing the Roman government and the Israelites to crucify him. Jesus suffered, and he experienced real physical pain. We have some image of that from the figure of Jesus on the crucifix over the altar. Jesus is the suffering servant who Isaiah foretold would give his life in reparation for the sins of all humankind. In the New Testament reading from Hebrews, St. Paul writes, "We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has similarly been tested in every way, yet without sin." Jesus does understand and sympathize with our struggles and our sufferings, since he himself struggled and suffered. Remember when Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane at the beginning of his passion? He prayed, "Father, if you are willing to take this cup away from me, still not my will, but yours be done." And the cup that Jesus refers to is God's plan for the salvation of all humankind, which included Jesus giving up his life. There's also a reference there we don't talk about a lot to the Eucharist, the ongoing sacrifice offered at every Mass. When Jesus prayed in the garden, his sweat became drops of blood. He was suffering before his trial and before he was scourged. He chose to deny himself and follow his Father's will. And Jesus showed us how to unite his will with God's will. In the gospel, two brothers who are apostles, James and John, were arguing about who would sit next to Jesus at his right hand and at his left hand in heaven. And Jesus asked them, "You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the cup that I drink?" Here's that cup reference again. Jesus is asking James and John if they are willing to share in God's will for him that he must suffer and give his life in order to get into heaven? They say yes. And in fact, James the Greater, the apostle, does give his life as a martyr, not too many years after Jesus gave his life. The end of this gospel returns, the end of the gospel that we heard today returns to the image of the servant. And Jesus continues to impress on James and John what it takes to be considered great in the eyes of God. Whoever wishes to be great among you will be your servant. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. A servant follows the will of the master. A servant unites his or her will with the will of the master. And Jesus, the Son of God, followed the will of God the Father, uniting his own will with God's plan for salvation from sin, opening up heaven for everyone who chooses to follow him. In the Gospel of Luke, which we didn't hear this today, but Jesus tells the apostles what it takes to follow him and get to eternal life in heaven. Jesus tells his apostles, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. These actions sometimes are called the three easy steps to get into heaven. Deny yourself. Do God's will, not your own. It takes a servant's heart to do this. Take up the cross of Jesus every day. Be like Simon of Cyrene, who carried the cross of Jesus on the way of Calvary. Sometimes we are asked to help carry the struggles and the sufferings of others, friends and family, and walk with them in tough times. Give both your own struggles and sufferings of those of others to Jesus in prayer every day, and then follow Jesus. Come to know Jesus as a friend who you can talk with and listen to. Prayer is both talking and listening. And making time to pray every day gives us the spiritual and the emotional strength so we can actually do these three easy steps that often seem so hard on any given day. All of us are troubled by the betrayal of trust involving bishops, priests, and deacons, the sometimes confusing and incomplete responses of church leadership to what's going on, and the calls for openness and communication. My brothers and sisters, I want to echo the encouragement that Father Gary and Father Jerry in our parish have been giving us consistently in these last weeks. We should place our trust in Jesus Christ, uniting our current struggles, our personal sufferings, our doubts and our fears with Jesus' own struggles and sufferings. And the very best practical way that each of us can do this is praying daily. Here's that daily part, which brings us back to the mention of prayer from the beginning of the homily. Our parish pastoral team has been working for several months to encourage everyone in the parish to pray 15 minutes a day for 30 consecutive days. We're calling this the 1% challenge. 1% of 24 hours in a day in our lives is 14 minutes and 24 seconds. Rounding that up, it's 15 minutes. In the practical way that we can deny ourselves, take up the cross of Jesus daily, and follow Jesus is through building our individual relationship with Jesus. Each of us knows who Jesus is, but each of us, including the priests, the deacons, and the parish staff, each one of us can still grow and come to know Jesus even more closely, to trust Jesus, to lead us and guide us in our parish through these struggles. First, read the gospel verse slowly and read it more than once. Second, take time to reflect or meditate on a phrase or a single word that grabs your attention. If nothing specific jumps out at you, ask Jesus to show you something in this gospel verse. Third, respond to what Jesus is showing you or saying to you in this gospel verse. Talk to Jesus in prayer. How about how you should respond? And listen to what he may be saying to you in your heart. Fourth, rest in silence in the words of Jesus in this gospel passage. Just be with Jesus. We spend time with our spouses, our children, our friends, and just to be with them and to know them better, to be able to support them, and they to support us. And we get to know Jesus better in that same way, just being with Jesus. By no means is this the only way to pray and come closer to Jesus over the next 30 days. We can pray the rosary, come to Jesus through Mary. We can talk to God and listen to God in an unlimited number of ways. But our encouragement is that each member of the parish, including our school-age children, make a commitment to accept this 1% challenge and pray 15 minutes every day for the next 30 days. You might think about setting a 15-minute alarm on your phone or your watch or an alarm clock or a kitchen timer. You might miss a day or several days. If you do, just pick up where you left off. God hears and responds to all of our prayers, no matter how imperfect they may be. At the end of the 30 days, we encourage you to continue this pattern of praying 15 minutes a day. You might find you want to pray longer than 15 minutes. God's timing is so much better for what we're talking about than ours. When our parish pastoral team discerned several months ago in prayer that we should do this 1% challenge for daily prayer, no one knew or could have known how much we need this commitment to prayer right now in our lives. Please make this commitment for daily prayer for 30 days. The result surely will be that each of us will draw closer to Jesus Christ, and that the healing we need in our parish and in our Catholic Church around the world will bring us closer as a parish community and as the church, the body of Christ, founded by Jesus.